Appliance Specialist, located in the West Loop Shopping Center.
And again today, visiting with the Pottawatomie County folks, Commission Chair Pat Waxelman, Emergency Management Director Chris Trudeau, and Jared Barnes, the Fire Supervisor, 537-1350. We'll have another segment with these three gentlemen. And before we move on to other topics, we did want to finish up a few things on the Ready, Set, Go, the action guide, and we'll let you kind of explain, Jared, some more details on that.
Well, this action guide, what it does is it really focuses on the wildland-urban interface, which is the area where the housing is, and then the wildland. And so, and it's also for the people who build their homes out in the middle of the pastures or whatever. And what it does is it gives you an action plan, and it gives you a way to set up your own plan for evacuation of not only yourself and your family, but also your animals, and ways to build defensible spaces around your house and the zones that you need to make. And defensible spaces, areas of green, grass, or just bare dirt. And also, keeping your trees and shrubs trimmed back. So that way you don't get the ladder effect where it starts on the ground and then builds up and then ends up in your home.
And you definitely watch those trees around your structures. I mean, we always hear that.
Absolutely.
They're beautiful. It's wonderful to have trees, but can't be too careful. Well, I guess moving along to some severe weather, we've already had a taste of that, haven't we, Chris?
Yeah, March 6th brought a rash of tornadic activity to the south end of the county. Pretty ugly night, actually. The National Weather Service, I think they even said earlier today that from yesterday that they had radar indicated or had sighted tornadoes from just south of St. George all the way down to St. Mary's. So we stayed on the other side of the river, but it was a pretty dangerous evening.
In fact, I remember we were supposed to have our radio station severe weather meeting the next night. So we do have a phone call, by the way. So let's go ahead and take the call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was highly disappointed in the commissioner's inability to pass a reduced speed limit. And the county roads are not safe at 55 miles an hour, most of them. But another problem is that it would help on the dust control if the county trucks would drive 40 miles an hour, especially the big dump trucks. When they're going past my house all day long, they're really kicking up a dust storm.
And that would be a Pat Waxelman question, probably. We'll come back to you in a momentarily, Chris. But I know you had a lot of discussion during your meetings about speed limits and finally came up with a few things. But I know that there was some difficulty making that decision, I understand.
There was. And the caller hit on what was the biggest decision maker, and that was most of them. And there are, 1,000 miles of roads in Pottawatomie County. And they're all different in topography, curvature, the width of the roads, just the general makeup of them. And we are, in fact, whenever I talked to Peter called me and told me he wouldn't be here this morning. He said to mention this because we are continually looking at this, and we are prepared to, and it might not be in the next month or two, but we are continually looking at this problem because it is a problem. And we're not done with this, with this problem. We're going to continue looking at it and maybe look at taking these as individual cases. But as soon as you do this, then you've got people coming in, wanting a mile of road drop to, 40 and then pick up. It's just something. It's not an easy fix. We know that there is a problem with some of these roads. There are some that you can drive 55, and there are some that are aren't even safe at 35 or 40, and that's where an individual has to create his own speed that he feels safe with and comfortable with. So I appreciate your concern. We did go to the subdivisions and make them 20 and 30 mile an hour urban and rural, and a lot of this was because they weren't marked. People had no idea what the speed limits were. So we decided to mark these to where people are aware of what it is, hoping that you know, we can control a little bit within the subdivisions. But we're not done with this speed limit on these roads. We're looking at it, and there will be some progress made. It might be, you know, 6 months from now, but we are taking into consideration and still considering it. So thank you.
Thank you, listener. Again, 537-1350 if you do have questions or comments for Pat, Chris, or Jared. We always appreciate those. And I guess before we get back to Chris, while we have you on the microphone, I know there were some other things we were going to talk about, too, while we had you here today, Pat. And I know that the Vineyard, South Vineyard, is finally making some progress on that.
We've been working on this. I've been here for 8 years now, and I think that has been a work in progress since then. We're within 2 weeks of starting construction. I think they got the final right-of-way straightened out yesterday. And, you know, there again, at South Vineyard, it's going to go approximately three-quarters of a mile to a mile south of 24. And then, you know, you're getting into the same scenario here that with the speed limits, you pave a road and, you know, people are going to drive it probably faster. And, you know, it's one of those roads that, like I said, has been in the planning stage for a long time, and we're 2 weeks away from starting the major construction on it.
Been a lot of construction and projects in Pottawatomie County. I mean, you continue to see growth. I know Lois Schlegel had an impressive report last week, you know, when you talked about valuations. But anything else you're wanting to highlight today, Pat?
Well, you know, we have that growth. And I'm not going to call it a problem, but it's a challenge, let's say that. And this is the equation that makes it really hard to handle, and that is we are the fastest growing county in the state. I mean, that is a given. We're number one. But at the same time, we have the second lowest mill levy in the state. So, you know, with those two total ends of the spectrum, it's hard to come into the middle and keep things growing as fast as we want to. And there's some things that we're looking at to try to alleviate some growth pains, and you know, we'll continue. We had a meeting the other night, and we got our sales tax that's going to sunset here in 20. And we're looking at it, trying to get people to, and we can't sell this, but I'm just going to say that this is a major factor on how a lot of these little towns have, you know, got revenues that they can continue to do their infrastructure and work on projects within the city. I think Waumego gets $660,000-$670,000 average a year, and Westmoreland is up around $80,000 to $90,000. Louisville, they get 20 or 30. I can't remember all the numbers, but it's a substantial amount of money that, you know, without these little towns, it'd be hard to keep up, you know, a lot of the maintenance within.
Good information, a lot on your plate. Well, last but certainly not least, let's get to Chris. I know that we did want to get into some severe weather information. You came, of course, all prepared and lots of things for people to think about. We've already had our first taste of it, obviously March 6th, but some other information you're wanting folks to know about today, Chris.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that we are in that time of year again, and I got to tell you, I've lived in Pottawatomie County almost my entire life, a Kansas native. And since I've been in this position for going on my 10th year, I've got a lot more respect for severe weather than I ever have before, mainly because I've been out in it a lot. And last year and this year, even on March 6th, that weather popped fast, and it was real. Last year, I happened to be at home when the tornado went through Waumego, which was just a stroke of luck that it was an EF1 instead of an EF5. That's a even in EF3, that whole situation changed dark real quick. People need to know the difference between those watches and warnings, and I know that sounds so simple, but, you know, watch means that it's possible that we could have one in the air, but a warning means it's there. And that's not the time to call 911 or the emergency manager or the fire chief and say, should I go to my basement? Go to your basement. As I followed that storm through the county, on the 6th, all the way from Waumego to St. Mary's and out of the county, I was going 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, just to stay right on its boundaries. And I had a lot of people passing me going 60 and 65, driving into hail and heavy rain and lightning and tornadic activity. So take that. People just need to take it serious. When there's a warning, that means there is a warning. Don't take lightning for granted. There's more people die from lightning than tornadoes every year. There's at least 50 deaths a year annually and hundreds more injured. Flash flooding, we have a lot of low water crossings within the county, a lot of places where water just comes up over roads. Respect that. 6 inches of water can take you off your feet. Not much 2 feet of water will bring a car off the road. So respect all that. The water rescues, I visited with some people yesterday. We've had 8 water rescues in the Kansas River in the last 2 years, at least 8. All of those during high water, extreme high water situations. That is not the time to be on that river. It's dangerous. There's obstructions under the water you can't see. You don't think about it, but this time of year, after the sun goes down, it's wet. We've pulled people out during storms, even when it's lightning and they're in aluminum canoes. It's extremely dangerous, and it puts our responders in extreme danger to go out and try to get these people that have been stranded. It's a beautiful float. I've done it myself, but do it during good weather when the river's not approaching flood stages.
And again, do your homework. As we were talking with Jared earlier, you know, check your conditions. Check what the weather's kind of looking like before you make any plans to do something like
that's
that.
That's right. The National Weather Service in Topeka does an excellent job. They're just super to work with. They've got great forecasters. You can call them. They will be more than happy to answer any questions. With a little bit of practice, you can learn to navigate their website and find out just all kinds of information for out to a week out. And it's a great service that they provide.
They have gotten better, I think. Although, I mean, there's some times we've had some false alarms, but I guess you'd rather have that. The ice storm, I know that didn't happen. As you said, I think you said you were very prepared for that, as we also were here in Riley County. And I know
2 degrees. It was 2 degrees off. And they warned us for several days at 2 degrees. And we have to remember that weather's a science. It's not a known. And those boys that are and girls that are sitting there at those desks are scientists. So it's not absolutely 100% accurate, but it's a lot better than a finger in the wind.
I know we heard a bit from your meeting yesterday, and you talked some about sirens that were and were not functioning. But just a reminder, those aren't really there to, you know, people need to pay attention to what's going on sirens.
Outdoor warning devices. Those are to get you from the outdoors to the indoors to get on some sort of broadcast media to find out what's really going on. They're susceptible to lightning. They're on poles that are sticking out in the middle of nowhere. They're full of electronic equipment, so even ground air-to-ground lightning doesn't even have to hit the pole, and it can knock those out. So never be totally reliant upon those.
Also, I know we wanted to mention the Northeast Kansas notification system. I know I take part in that and get several reminders as needed, but tell us what that's all about, if you could.
That's a warning system that the Northeast Region Homeland Security Grant Council has purchased, and right now it costs the user nothing. You can go to the Pauk County website, go to the emergency alerts now available link, and you can sign up for that. And there's a lot of information there you can sign up for, weather warnings, burn bans. I'd caution people not to sign up for the fire weather, because that reports at 3 a.m. in the morning. but it is absolutely a great tool. We've got 1,472 people signed up for it as of today. But it's great. It comes over your phone. There's numerous ways, by email, by text, by ringtone. A lot of ways it can notify you of things that are going on.
In fact, I think if you don't answer it, it keeps trying to find you.
It will, until you type yes in. If it's there's different ways you can be notified. They've tried to make it to where it's not a burden for people to get. And a lot of people may have noticed on that night of March 6th that the in the Wamego area that we had the IPAWS go off for the first time that I know of, and that is the system that comes over your cell phone, unless you've opted out of it, that tells you there is a tornado warning in progress. Unless you opted out of that when you bought your new device, all new devices have that on it.
Also, I mean, and I'm moving along a little bit, I know you wanted to talk some about CERT today, too. And let's examine that. I know that's an important program also.
The Emergency Management Coordinator, Natasha Hunter, she couldn't be here today, but she's been working a lot with the CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team program here in the county. And those people are trained. We have 23 members now, and they're working with Gary and Riley County on their training. But it's people that are slightly enhanced training to assist themselves first, then their neighbor, and then their community. But it's a great organization. I encourage people. They can call the office at 785-457-3358, or they can email Natasha at nhunter@pockcounty.org. She can give them more information on it. But it's a great program. In the event of a large-scale emergency event, we rely so much on volunteers, and the CERT members are those that we would be calling on fairly rapidly.
Want to remind our listeners, if you have any last-minute phone calls, 537-1350. Let's go around the room one more time and have people maybe hit highlights or anything else they're wanting to say today.
You know, Pat? There is one. You hear a lot of, you've got Wamego's Tulip Festival. It's coming up here. A lot of things coming up in the county, but there's a small town in the north end of the county, Havensville. And every year they have their living history, or every year they have their Living History Day. I think it's April 7th this year. And they have as many as 300 or 400 kids show up in buses, school buses, and they show how it used to be. They actually, they make soap, they weave, make candles, just a number of things that they present them. This thing's been going on, I think, for probably 20 or 25 years. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but really a interesting time for. It's something I thought I would mention on it, and I would like to say that we had a meeting with K-Camp yesterday. That's our insurance provider for the county. And we are at a good loss ratio. They even gave us a dividend for last year. They paid a little bit of us back. I think it amounted to $4,500. But that's anything. I think it's any time you can be under 15%, and I think we're in that 13% range. So pretty good. That's a good report card.
Always good to hear. Yeah. Go again. Anything else, Jared, that you want to add today?
The only thing I'd like to stress is we've had a couple of structure fires in the county, and smoke detectors, they're there for a reason. They save lives. So make sure you have smoke detectors in your home and make sure that they're in good working order.
Okay, Chris?
I'd just like to thank all the volunteers in the county and the emergency responders, both paid and volunteer, for the job they do. We've been calling on them a lot in the last few months on training and after hours training, weekend training. These people do a great job at no cost to the county taxpayer, and I just want to say thank you to all of them.
Well, thank you to the three of you for stopping by today. Again, we've had with us Pottawatomie County Commission Chair Pat Waxelman, also Emergency Management Director Chris Trudeau, and Fire Supervisor Jared Barnes. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Joe Maysburg Tomlinson and Terry McCants with K-State Global Campus about summer school, some of their plans. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.